series is coming to a close today. It be hot. And buddy, it's been hot. Last week it don't get no hotter. Hell. Amen. Woo! Had lots of calls this week, had lots of emails and some letters in the mail as well. And people were really encouraged. Had a lot of people tell me this week that, you know, it's the first message they've heard on hell, and where they went to church, they don't talk about hell anymore. And we don't talk about it as a place that, hey, I want to go. Okay? We talk about it because it's Bible. It's the right thing. And that's the place, I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ came. He didn't die on the cross for nothing. He died to save us from our sins and to keep us from going to an awful place called hell. It exists. And so we talked about that last week. We also began this series with the holiness of God. Flat out, there's nothing hotter than the holiness of God. Hell next to the holiness of God ain't even hot. That's how hot the holiness of God is. Unbelievable. That holy God, our holy God that we serve. Unbelievable. Also, we look at how to handle the heat when Satan comes, when troubles come your way, when you're trying to just do the right thing for crying out loud, and you keep getting attacked, how to handle that. We talked about that. And then today, anger. Come on. How many of you have lost it a few times? Let me see your hands. Come on. Lost it. Amen? Today we're talking about anger. Hot-headed. How to not be a hothead. How to not lose your cool. In all my years of preaching, about 22, I've never preached a message exclusively dedicated to the topic of anger. Because I keep notes and things like that and looked in my file. Because that always helped if you said something before, go back and look at it and get you a little start somehow, some way. There was no start. Heck, no start. It's all through the Bible, though. Here's the start right here. Man, I could talk on anger because I've been angry many times. And I can deal with that. And anger is a real problem of mine. I struggle with it. And I tell you, some of us are a little worse at it than others. And especially when your wife's on the front row. Come on. Great. Anyway, I told you, please, it's rough on me. Anyway, look at this eyeball Roger found. Look at that red eyeball. You know how to battle these folks. How not to lose your cool? Let's say that together. How not lose your cool? How many want to know that? Can I see your hands? Come on. How can I do better? How can I not lose my cool? I'll do a better job at it. That's why we're here today. Don't want you thinking about old so-and-so today. Okay, old so-and-so is angry. You know, think about you today, okay? How not to lose your cool? Let's go with it. A lot of stuff. Roger, we're going to put it in gear, baby. Here we go. Bunch of freaks on the screen, okay? Behind every one of them is anger. Hatred. You know what I'm telling you? Say it. That's where that anger that you got going on in you, oh, it's no big deal, I have a right to be angry. Listen, who knows what in the world you won't be an absolute lunatic and nut and do something so horrific it ain't even funny. I am convinced that anger is the gate that Satan travels through and comes into our life. And most sins that we commit, I think if we really got down to it and looked at it, it was that gate of anger that I let Satan in through. And that's why I'm in the mess I'm in. And that's why I've made the mess I've made. So anyway, let's get off of these guys because I can't stand them. Thank you. Move them off the screen. Divine wrath and human anger are mentioned over and over again in the Bible. You might be here today just like last week. Some people were probably here that said, hell, I can't believe you're talking about hell. Hell's not real. Hell's not a real place. Divine anger is all through the Bible. Tell you what, look at it. Divine wrath and the anger of God. In the Old Testament alone, there's over 600 references to wrath or anger. So we're not talking about something today that Pastor Clark built a message up in one little scripture. This is great. It's all through the Bible. Divine anger. I'm talking about righteous anger from a holy God. All through the Bible. Anger is an attribute of God. Can you say that even though it might be tough? Anger is an attribute of God. God gets angry. Oh no, I thought he was just a God of love. No, God gets angry. It's an attribute of God. In Scripture, it's mentioned more times than is love. Why don't people run around saying that? God is angry. God's angry. God is upon anger. It sounds nicer to say God's got love, doesn't it? And I'm glad you say that. I'm glad he is. But the bottom line, he's also angry. And God gets angry. Since it's part of God's nature, we cannot conclude that anger itself is bad. There are many times you ought to get angry. Matter of fact, if certain things don't make you angry, something's wrong with you. Okay? It's the way it is. Listen, anger is not necessarily bad. Since God is completely good and holy, we must conclude that divine anger is also good. When God gets angry, it's right. When God gets angry, it's a good thing. Now, we might not see it that way. We might not like to believe that. But the bottom line, that is true. Now, let's keep looking. The Bible never criticizes the anger of God. Never. God got angry. Shit. It doesn't do that. Now, you know, you will find times when it does warn repeatedly, by the way, of human anger. Human anger. We're warned repeatedly. And that's what we're going to see. That's why today my message isn't going to be on, you have the right to get angry. Okay? Or human anger is right at times. I'm not going to preach a message on that because I believe we got that one down, don't we? Most of us are all right with that one. It's that uncontrolled anger we've got a problem with, right? Is that right or wrong? That's why we're here today. Okay? Do want to say this. Some of you might would think, okay, wait a minute. There are times in the Bible, and I didn't want to get off on this, and I shouldn't probably say it because I'm opening up another area of study, but anyway. There is times when it says in the Bible that God repented, or it repented God. He was going to do something, and He didn't do that. If God ever chooses to not do something or to show grace, it isn't because He was wrong to start with. You hear me? See, you and I deserve eternal punishment. We're sinners. We deserve to go to a place called hell. We don't deserve the grace of God. Hey, just because He didn't send us there didn't mean we shouldn't go there. And He gave us grace. But God never gets angry if He's never wrong. Ever. Period. That's important that you anchor that in your faith. But we're warned a lot in the Bible about anger. Just several verses, and you can go online and slow down a little bit and check these out this week. They'll be there for you to do this message online if you like. Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. If you're known as an angry person, here's what you're also known as a fool. That's what you are. That's what I am. When I get angry, when I get out of control, I'm a fool. That's what the Bible says. And that's what other people say. That's too. Proverbs 16:32. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. You rule your spirit. You control that anger. God says, let me tell you something. You're better than the mightiest warrior that's out there taking cities. This is great. That's what we should do. Control ourselves. Colossians 3:8. But now also put off these. Look at this. Anger, wrath, malice. That's acting out on your anger and wrath. Blasphemy. That's cussing God. And then filthy communication. Isn't it something how all those seem to go together? Once we get angry, then there's wrath. Then we do something about it. Then we cuss God. Then we cuss everybody else. Just a horrible spiral downward. It's a horrible thing. Anger, uncontrolled anger. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Say it with me. Swift to hear, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We so often think, if I get mad, I can fix it. Fix it! You know, listen, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Don't make yourself feel so holy and so spiritual that when you're out of control, you're doing God's will. You're doing Him a favor. You're not God's hitman. Now, what's that? It never works the righteousness of God. Now, is this a double standard? Are y'all with me? I hope you are so far. Is it a double standard? God can get mad. Look at it. God can get angry, and that's okay. It's not a double standard. Here's the deal. Look at it. God is God and I am not. Say that with me. God is God and I am not. One more time. God is God and I am not. Let's just be honest. I know it's going to be hard on us. How many in here would say, there was a time, I'm just going to ask for one example. There was a time when I got angry and lost it and flipped my lid and I shouldn't have and I was wrong and I didn't see the situation just like I should. Let me see your hands. Come on. Look at that. Shazam. That's why God is not warned not to be angry, and we are. Okay? Because God can handle it. We can't. We're not God. Anger, how not to lose your cool. That's what we're talking about today, and we're keeping on going. Lots of stuff today. Lots of stuff. Why do we have uncontrolled anger? Why do we have uncontrolled anger? I've got several things going to pop at you this morning. Here we go. Just statements. Because we're sinners. This is the bottom line. Why do we get mad? Why do we lose our control? Why do we lose our cool? Because we're sinners. We're bent that way. We're bent that way. We're bent that way. Those are the works of the flesh. Bitterness, wrath, anger, all this kind of stuff. We're bent that way. That's the way we are. That's why when we get saved, we have the gift Hallelujah. The presence of the Holy Spirit living in our life. And then that's where the fruits of the Spirit comes from. And as we become a Christian, as we grow, read the Bible. We're going to talk about this morning. That's why that bend that we have that way can then start to go this way. And we can lean towards joy and gentleness and peace and long-suffering. But it ain't going to happen overnight. That's why we get angry. We get out of control because we're sinners. God didn't have a problem with anger. Why? Because He's what? Holy. Let's keep looking. Several things. Because we misinterpret circumstances, God doesn't. We have something happen. If we misinterpret the whole thing, God never misinterprets anything. He can see the end from the beginning, the beginning from the end. We can't do that. Because we feel threatened and react quickly. Now I'm not talking about somebody coming at us with a butcher knife or something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we feel threatened by other people's words, attitudes, actions, things that they do, and then we react. Anytime you feel threatened, we react. Okay? Guess what? God never feels threatened. That's why He didn't have a problem with anger. Them little puny humans ain't going to do nothing to me. I mean, you know, so He's fine. He didn't have the problem we got. We got a problem. Why do we have uncontrolled anger? Because we respond with vindictiveness. See, God always responds with righteous judgment. Most of the time when we have uncontrolled anger, we're responding with vindictiveness. We're going to get even. We're going to fix that sucker. That's what we're going to do right now. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we do it. We respond with vindictiveness. There's nothing righteous about it. We have uncontrolled anger because we get emotional and lose control. How many have buttons people can push? Say. Woo! Don't even push buttons now, baby. That's why in marriage it is so important. You definitely both got buttons, and you definitely need to learn how to live with each other and not push each other's buttons. And I hate to be I don't want to disappoint you, but Joy and I have been in this 23 years, and we still ain't got it down pat. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so you still have to keep working at it. God never loses control. He always has it together. We don't. That's why God gets angry. It's righteous. It's holy. We get angry so many times, we're off the wall. Uncontrolled anger. Why do we have it? Because we get fatigued. And we respond incorrectly. I would say this is my biggest, I hate to say biggest because Joy could probably, no, it's not the biggest. But it's one of my major problems in my life. I work, I go, I do, and then I get home, I'm tired. Wore out. It's not an excuse. I so much more often blow off steam, get out of control when I'm tired. How many would witness and say that's true of you? Okay, we're here to help each other today. Okay, if I can, okay, there's wives are holding up hands for people. All right, that's okay. Guess what? We're here today for help. We're here today. You didn't know you were coming for help. That's why you're here today. Amen? All right. God never gets tired. Never gets tired. Never gets tired. He's eternal. He always responds the right way. Why do we have uncontrolled anger? Because we get embarrassed and we lash out. We get embarrassed. Somebody can embarrass us. Or we can be wrong, and that embarrasses us, but we are not going to be wrong, and we ain't going to show that we're wrong, and we're going to be right, even if we're wrong, and have to apologize for it later. That's what Alex Christie told me. He and I were talking about this. I always talk messages up with the staff, try to, and that's what he said. He's such a nice guy, just so even-tempered and everything, but that's what he said. He said, you know, hey, if I'm wrong, doesn't matter, I'm going to be right. When he gets uncontrolled anger. And I'm the same way. How many like that as well? Come on. See what I'm saying? It's a common problem. You know what makes it a common problem? Because we're all sinners. That doesn't make an excuse. And we have the Holy Spirit and we can do better. God never gets embarrassed. Now, I think God gets embarrassed at us sometimes. I think He looks down and goes, I can't believe that. But He never gets embarrassed because He always has His act together. Say that with me one more time. God is God and we are. That's why we need help. That's why we need help with this. Let's keep moving. That's why the Bible says, and this is really important that you read this with me this morning. It'd be great if you mark it down, write it down, mark it in your Bible. It's one of the best verses that you'll ever mark in your Bible because you need help with it, and I need help with it. Read it with me. Come on. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Look at verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. This is huge in our talk this morning. That is absolutely gigantic. If you're going to handle uncontrolled anger, you've got to put that scripture in your heart and in your head and your mind. Come on. How do I lose control? So let's look at it. Human anger is natural. It's not necessarily evil. We've already said that. It is a necessary emotion. If you don't get angry, get mad every once in a while, hey, tell you, friend, you're not normal. Now, you might do it differently, but I think everybody in here would say, oh, no, I'm normal. I mean, I'm angry sometimes. Okay? Let's look at what Jesus did. Look at Jesus. Here's Jesus. Now, we can think of the money changers, tables, and all that, but I picked this one. Look at it. Mark 3, verse 1 through 5. And Jesus entered again to the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him. Who's watching him? The Pharisees. It's on the Sabbath. You ain't supposed to work on the Sabbath. So here's this guy with a withered hand, and they're all watching to see if Jesus is going to heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might what? Choose him. Wouldn't that make you mad, son? Hey, you trying to go and heal people who are crippled, have withered hands, things like that? And somebody's over there judging you for trying to make somebody whole. Would that bother you? And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand up. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? If I can't just do good, boys, does that mean I get to go do evil? Is that what this is all about? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. They didn't say anything. Verse 5. Say it with me. And when he had looked around about all them with what? Anger. Being grieved for the hardness of their heart. He said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. He stretched it out. His hand was restored whole as the others. And he said, adios, suckers. Okay? He healed the man. And he was angry because of their attitude. So anger is normal. It's natural. But there again, you know, we're not Jesus. However, we do have His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the living God, His presence inside of us, and we can achieve. Okay? It's normal and necessary, but let me tell you something. This is where I'm heading. I hope you're still with me. I'm worried this morning. You ready? Listen. It's normal and necessary to get angry, but this is very important. It's one of the few places in the Bible ever says anything like this. This is where Satan can get a foothold in your life. What did the Bible say? Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Neither give place to the devil. I'm convinced, I said it before, that that's the gate that the devil comes into our life, right through that. Anger! And you might be right. You might be right. You were hurt. You were damaged. You were abused. All these things. I'm not saying it didn't happen. But Satan will use your pain that you went through. Hope you're listening. And he will enter into your life. I'm not talking about possess you. I'm talking about mess you up, screw you up. And that's what he wants. He comes through that. We've got to be so careful that he doesn't get a foothold. How does he get a foothold? Two things we popped up. Number one, because we have faulty perception. We have faulty perception. We can get angry, out of control, certainly think that we're right and even might be right, but because we have faulty perception, Satan can work through that. You understand? A lot of us are pretty good. This black, this white, we're pretty good with it, right? You know what I'm saying? Right, wrong, up, down, left, right, are pretty good. But this anger thing, counselors say this, most difficult thing to diagnose and work with is anger. Because it's unique to the individual. There's no clinical diagnosis, really, to help that person. What do I mean? Here's an example. You can be riding down the road. Okay? I'll do it. Okay. I'm riding, no, I can't do it. Here we go. Somebody's riding down the road, and there's a slow person in front of them, and they are cussing him out. They're giving him the finger. They're doing all this kind of, and they're just, they almost hit him. They want to kill him. But the guy behind that person is also, they're not real happy that they're going so slow, but they handle you totally different. They don't cuss. They don't fuss. Do you see what I'm saying? We handle things differently. Anger is that way. Satan is so, he can get a foothold. He is so clever. He's got a plan worked out just for you, how he can use anger to hurt you. We have false perception. Number two, because anger often leads to other sins. That's how Satan gets a foothold in. Again, I'm going to say it again. I think it's a gate to a lot of sins. I think a lot of men have affairs with women because they're angry at their wife for a number of reasons. I'll let you fill in the blank. I'm not saying that man's wrong. He's wrong. He's wrong for being angry. They need to work through that situation. But because of that anger, that sort of justifies and the little sweet thing in the office starts talking to him. And she's so sweet. Why are they all so mean and a snake? That's what he thinks. And then things just happen, right? That's just an example. In the Middle East, and I sure can't get off on this morning. In the Middle East, I've traveled to countries over there many times. Not an expert, but been over there a lot. I've been in countries that hate Israel. I've been there with my wife. We've watched television. You wouldn't believe the things they spew on television. The leader of Israel with fangs and blood dripping off his... And this isn't a funny commercial. This is real. And just repeated. They're teaching their people to hate Israel. Hate America. They hate our guts. And they take things and distort things and twist things and manipulate things. And that's what happens. I tell you what. Anger leads to other sins. And it can be a horrible thing in your life. I mean, ultimately, it can lead to murder, all kinds of things, crazy things. Ephesians 4:26 is really saying this. When you are angry, do not sin. Say that with me. When you are angry, do not sin. I got to have double help. Come on. When you are angry, do not sin. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because I'm giving place to the devil. I'm giving place to the devil. Instead of us just wanting to be right and get justice, why don't we change our thinking a little bit? It might help you not get so angry if you realize, wait a minute, yes, he is wrong. Yes, he did do that, but wait a minute. I'm giving place to the devil. Doesn't that matter, son? Do you want your little children to have a mama or a daddy who's given place to the devil, son, just because somebody messed you around? Come on, friend. Don't do that. That's what the Bible says. And I do it, I have done it, I struggle with it. Human unrighteous anger is condemned in the Bible. Got several scriptures. Human unrighteous anger is condemned in the Bible. Why did we put all this scripture? I'm going to read it right fast. Why? Because we don't need, the worst thing we can be is deluded, deceived into thinking that we are right. That's just Satan getting a hold in our life. Are you hearing me? So let's look at it. It's condemned. Watch it. Psalm 37, 7 through 9. Just going to read it. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Proverbs 15, 1 through 3. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He saw what happened to you. Let him handle it. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Rather give place in the wrath, or say it with me. It's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ephesians 4:30-32. This is my daughter's favorite passage of Scripture, one of them. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, troubling you, and thereby many be defiled. Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. Why do you behold the mote that's in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that's in your own eye? Or how will thou say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam's in your eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye. then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that's in your brother's eye. A lot of scripture, huh? Boy, it's quiet in here. Man, it really is. Either we get a nerve or you're totally bored. All right? Anger. I'm going to go with we hit a nerve. How not to lose control. Here we go. Sinful anger. Sinful anger. There's four that we put up on the screen this morning. Sinful anger. Not trying to pick on anybody today. I'm the worst in the building. I believe that. I really do. If you want to share angry stories after we get done, I'll share some with you. All right? Listen. Sinful anger. Four areas. Number one, vengeance. Say that with me. Vengeance. What is that? That's bitterness. That's hatred. It leads to revenge. Sinful anger. Is it ever right for you to get revenge? No. Is it all right? Listen. Is it all right if God works it all out and it looks like you got revenge? That might be all right. You're not supposed to manipulate, have anything to do with it. Vengeance. Second area of sinful anger, verbal abuse. Say that with me. Verbal abuse. I could write a book on this one. I'm a talker. That's not a good thing. Since I talk, I've learned to say things. I've learned to argue. I've learned to make points and score points. And so often that goes over into being verbally abusive, especially with my family. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. He that is of a hasty spirit exalts folly. When you just open your mouth and run your mouth and put down, and I do it, we exalt folly. We're not doing the right thing. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that's slow to anger appeases strife. How many have done that before? You were quiet in prayer. Didn't mean you didn't want to knock somebody's head off, but you handled it, you were controlled, and you watched the situation diffuse. You ever done that before? Let's see, hands. Come on. Golly, only a couple of you? No, I'm just kidding. We got some angry people in the building. Here we go. Proverbs 29:11. A fool utters all his mind. Well, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind. Well, that's about all you had about that much. Because a fool utters all his mind. Is that as good as you can do? But a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. A wise man keeps it in. Somebody just blows up. Boom! That's old Clark many times. Foolish, 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 foolish. Every time. And the Holy Spirit just hammers me. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou that a man that is hasty in his words, there's more hope for a fool than him. If you're just always known for blowing off and popping off, and more hope for a fool than you. That's what the Bible says. That's verbal abuse, using words to be abusive. And so often we do this, and it's characteristic of preachers like me. This is confession, Dad, yes, but me. But so often I work with other people, and other people will tick me off. And many times I don't usually smile, but I'll take it. And so when I'm tired, I get home. Guess who gets it? Somebody tell me. Joy, Mitch, and Elise. They get it. Because see, out there, I've got to be nice. I've got to be kind. I've got to be sweet. I can't say it. So guess what I've decided? Out there, I'm just not going to be nice, kind, and sweet. No, I'm just kidding. So my family won't get it. The point is, using words to hurt people, exploding, hurts people. That's a form of sinful anger. Let's keep moving. Next. An angry man stirs up strife. A furious man abounds in transgression. We got lots of verses. We could keep going. Number three. Say it with me. Let's review again. Sinful anger. Vengeance. Two. Verbal abuse. Three. Say it with me. Let's say that a little louder. Come on.
Gossiping.
You know what gossip is? Listen to me today. If you don't hear nothing else, hear this, church. It's a subtle and sinful vengeance. It's sort of like an undercover terrorist. You're just undercover. It's like what I see when I was in those foreign countries, that propaganda that's put on the television screen that gets people to hate America and hate Israelis and hate things like that. That's what gossip is. It is a tool of the devil that allows us to talk about other people, to get back at them, to say bad things about them. It's horrible. It is a tool in the hand of the devil. It's a subtle and sinful vengeance. The tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Keep moving. Therewith bless we God, and even the Father, and you curse we men with the same tongue, which are made having similitude of God. These things probably shouldn't be. How the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not be. Shouldn't happen. Last one is bitterness. Say that with me. Bitterness. That is a repressed anger. Now, bitterness does reveal itself. Sometimes it comes out in hatred, and it comes out in revenge. But a lot of times, bitterness is deep down. Y'all with me? Some of y'all are looking like, this is crazy. It's deep down. Bitterness gets inside of us. It's a repressed anger. I mean, you've seen on TV, or maybe you've known somebody that they've kept something inside of them, and then usually what do? They pop like a cork, don't they? Boom! And you go, I can't believe that he was such a nice kid. I can't believe he killed his mother and his daddy. Because he was to something that in him, just repressed. Horrible things. Bitterness needs to be let go. I know it's hard. It needs to be confessed. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, the living God. And by the way, I'm going to say something. I don't mean to be ugly, but I'm going to. Here we go. Listen, it's not your place if you think somebody's bitter for you to go up and tell them they need to let their bitterness go. Because they just might pop their cork right on you. It's not your place. Pray for them. Encourage them. For crying out loud. I've never seen much effectiveness ever when we just go tell somebody they need to do this. Especially something so deep-seated that Satan has got in, it's caused a lot of pain. You super Christian man, you're going to figure it out so fast for them and fix it. That ain't usually going to happen. Be careful. I don't think that's going to help the situation. He that hates dissembleth with his lips and lays up deceit within him. And that's why we become a time bomb when we put that stuff inside us. And I tell you, I've sort of feel this way sometimes. Anger can be, here it is, we ain't almost done, we're getting close. Anger can be, say it with me, repressed, suppressed, expressed, or confessed. Amen? Which one we want to choose? Somebody tell me. Confess. That's it. All right. Look at this. Anger can be helped now. Held back, turned in, acted out, or given up. Which one we want to do? Give it up, man. As I've studied the Bible, I don't see any good thing coming out of this anger thing. It's a gate that Satan goes through and enters my life. Let's look at it. So how can I get it to God? Real fast, Rod. We're going to fly on this so we get to the last part. Humility. 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 Pop it up. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to be honest with God about your anger. You've got to admit and agree with God that your anger is sin and your anger is wrong. That's tough, ain't it, Satan? Isn't it tough when somebody's treated you like dirt, they have hurt you, and you're the one that's got to confess? Is that hard or what, Satan? That's if you don't want to have Satan have a place in your heart and in your life. You most likely aren't going to fix them anyway. Don't let yourself get all messed up. I'm telling you. Be sorry for your anger. This is humility and confession. You've got to be sorry for it. Well, I guess I did. No, I ain't talking about that. I'll just say, hey, let me tell you something. It's messing up my family. It's causing me trouble. And yeah, they hurt me. They did wrong. But let me tell you something. I can't have that in my life. And I'm wrong, and it's hurting me. And God, I'm the one that's let this thing happen in my life. Let's keep moving. Be certain that you're forgiven. Listen to me, when you humble yourself and you confess your anger, you can have absolute certainty, if you're honest and sincere before God, that He's forgiven you. Amen? You got to let go. Satan's going to say, now see, you still are angry. Man. Listen, hey, I'm forgiven. I confess that. It's not going to be easy, but I'm forgiven. You got to take that. You got to accept that. Keep looking. Then forgiveness. Several scriptures, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Lord's Prayer. Matthew 18, Peter came to the Lord and said, How shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? He said, till seven times. Shall I do it seven times? Jesus said, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What's the whole point? Keep forgiving. Why? Is your brother a jerk? Yeah. Keep forgiving him. Why? So you don't give place to the devil. Capisce? Well, it's not right. He keeps doing that. Well, you can keep thinking that if you want to. And it's true. He does. But guess what? You're not giving a place to the devil. Do you see that? I hope you're seeing it. You can win. You can be a winner here. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted raiment and cast lots. That was Jesus' mindset. I'm not going to argue with Jesus, but I think the people that were killing Jesus didn't know what they were doing. They knew that this was a good man. They were crucifying him. No, they didn't know he was the Son of God and going to raise from the dead. But this was Jesus also just saying, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. He had his eye on a bigger goal, didn't he? And you've got to keep your eye on the ball. When we can accept forgiveness from God, and we can give forgiveness to others, listen to me, we are free from many of our hurts and frustrations from the past. How many would say today, Pastor, I want to be free from frustrations of the past? You would get in line to get it. It's going to come through forgiveness. Forgiving, asking God to forgive, and forgiving others. I'm not saying they're going to accept it. I'm not even saying you're going to go tell them you forgive. That ain't probably a good idea to go to somebody and say, I forgive you. I had a guy can't get off on these stores, they're so old. But I had a guy one time come to my house, knock on the door. He came in, walked in, and said, I just want you to know I forgive you. I laughed in his face. What I do? And he tried to tell him, I know y'all were fuss at this, maybe, but the bottom line is this guy was all full of bitterness. He actually said every time I see a fellowship sign, I want to run it over with the car! He's lucky I didn't throw him down two flights of stairs. Thank God I helped that anger in. You know what I mean? Don't go up to somebody and say, I forgive you. That's just, deal with it with God. Y'all might not agree with that. Do what you're going to do. Accepting forgiveness and giving forgiveness leads us, say that with me, less bogged down by anger. And makes us better able to focus on the good things. How many have tried to focus on good things, but you've been so angry, you can't see nothing but the anger. You can't see nothing but the hurt. Let's raise hands if we're being honest. Come on. That's all I can see, man. That's all I can see. I'll be honest with you, probably the first several months of when we started this church, so many times that's all I could see. That's all I could see. That's all I could see. Some of the anger in me. Thank God. God has patience and works with us. Amen? He's a great God. Oh, I love Him today. Finally, how not to lose control. Roger, we're going to have to let him go online and check it out. But we're going to go with these 4 points. It's not a new message. We're done. They're real fast. How do I not lose control? How do I not lose control? Y'all ready? 4 seconds. 4 little quick points. Go for it. Come on. Here we go. By the way, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. Temperance, by the way, is self-control. Other scriptures we'll skip through. How not to lose your control. Point number one. Here it is. Read the Bible every day. Read the Bible every day. You might say, I can't understand the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. Fine. You go ahead and have it your way. Keep being angry. Keep being ticked off. Keep going to God in prayer and not getting it fixed. That's no way, friend. Read the Bible every day. See, when you get saved, you don't get no glorified body. You are still a sinner. You still have flesh. You still have the works of the flesh. And yes, you've got the Holy Spirit. You jump and shout and all that kind of mess. But if you don't put the Bible in you, you're not going to win. You're not going to make it. We've got a warped mind, and our mind needs to be renewed. My mind says, punch him in the mouth. That's what Clark's mind says. God says, turn into the cheek. Amen? Walk on. Don't let the devil have an entrance place into your life. Lots of scripture. We're going to go through them. Number two, read the Bible. I put ours on so you can remember. Read the Bible every day. Number two, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm not talking about being some crazy Christian. Yeah, I'm always happy, even if I'm sad. I'm not talking about it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Great passage of Scripture. It's Philippians chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. It says, how do I rejoice? By prayer and supplication to God. That's how you rejoice. Number two. That's Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Everything in prayer. Next, by the peace of God. Pop that scripture up. The peace of God passes all understanding. Should keep your hearts and minds. You rejoice by experiencing the peace of God. Even though somebody's ticked you off, they should not be able to take the peace of God from you. Rejoice in that peace that you have. Hallelujah. By praising God. Look at this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, keep moving. What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, say it with me. Things! We do it by praise. We rejoice in the Lord by praising the Lord. Number three, how not to lose your cool. Read the Bible every day. Rejoice in the Lord always. And number three, reject ruminating. Look at this neighbor. She's all messed up. We didn't say that in Jersey. Where are you from? So, quick.
We have to choose.
I knew it. Anyway, we don't talk like that up there. What is ruminating? Here it is. It's to turn a matter over in your mind. It's to chew cud. It's to stir the pot. Reject stirring the pot again and again and again. Give this to me. Reject that. Okay? I'm not quoting you, baby. Alright, here we go. Philippians 4:8. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of it. Here's how you reject ruminating. Pop up the three little things. Don't meditate on mess. Number two, don't spend your time with critical people. If people want to gossip, tell them, shut up. Why? Because the devil's going to get a place in your heart, friend. Don't hang out with them. If that's all we talk about, Sister So-and-so, I got to go. Because the preacher said, I got to reject ruminating. She's going to say, you go, what? Listen, don't spend time with critical people. How many times do you spend time with critical people, you get down and you leave? Let me see your hand. Stop it. Don't do it. Especially your fellowship church. I'm telling you that. Don't fantasize on your superiority. Whenever we think about people that's put us down, hurt us, whatever, we get into a fantasy of how great we are. How we didn't do it, and we didn't do it. But you know, I bet you there's somebody else we could bring in, and probably you did do that to them one time. Don't fantasize. Satan wants you to fantasize on how great you are. He loves you to get the glory. Last point is this. This is rough. Run the race. Can you say that with me? Run the race. This is how I don't lose my control. I read the Bible every day. Listen, number two, rejoice in the Lord always. Number three, reject ruminating. Number four, run the race. Look at some scripture and we're out of here. I count on myself to apprehend this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I reach forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Satan, I want you to do that. Paul talking, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. I've been through it all, Paul says. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer me. Look at this great verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can even get over being mistreated. Hebrews 12, last verses. Wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and anger's weight, man. The sin that does so easily beset us. More people have lost the race because of anger than anything else. Let us run the race with patience that's set before us. Look to Jesus. How can I do it? The author and the finisher of my faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. He sat down the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Why should I do that? Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. If you don't run the race, you're going to faint. Amen? Woo! This was a big message. How many need a little help today? Can I see you? Come on. Come on, let's praise the Lord for the Word of God.